Hi, my name's Teresa Cottam, and I'm the Chief Analyst here at Omnisperience. In this issue of the Omniscene, I'm going to talk about the emerging opportunities from smart life spaces. And then we're going to hear from Livia Rossu from the Home Grid Forum about how we can get more out of our networks. Gino Deon from Nokia is going to talk to us about bottlenecks and quality of service and how we can support cost-sensitive services such as gaming and even make revenue streams from those. So I wanted to begin this podcast by talking to you about a new concept that we're rolling out here at Omnisperience, and that's the smart life space. You'll probably be well aware that in telecoms, we've traditionally segmented our market into two, which is the business market and the consumer market. And the problem with that is that lots of customers, home workers, micro businesses, and indeed nano businesses, have fallen between these two major parts of our portfolio and not necessarily been addressed as well as they could have been. What COVID has done is accelerate the move to digitalisation, and it's also accelerated the home working phenomenon. So suddenly overnight, millions of people have started to work from home. And what that has done is show us that our traditional way of looking at the household is quite inaccurate these days. Not only over the last few years have we been installing more and more IoT devices inside the home and actually smartifying the home, and whether that's voice-based artificial intelligence, digital assistants, whether it's smart light bulbs or other objects within the home, or indeed whether it's things like smart meters. The household has seen a lot of IoT devices appear, and even more are going to appear over the next few years. So that's one major change. But something else is now apparent, and that's within the home, you have people not just living, but they are working and they're also playing. So people have started substituting digital services for physical services that they would otherwise have been using. So instead of going out to the cinema, you're now watching high quality video at home, for example, or you're watching high quality sporting activities at home even as well. People game at home. And we're going to hear later in this pod scene from Nokia, who are going to talk to us about the demands that a service like gaming make upon the network. But even more people have been using services like that than they probably did before COVID, because we're now using digital entertainment instead of going outside the home to the pub, to a restaurant, or to sporting and entertainment events, etc. But another major change has been the fact that so many people are now working from home. And what all of this has done is show that our consumer-based home broadband networks really just aren't up to scratch anymore for the kind of services that we want to use. They're not up to meeting our business needs, they're not up to meeting our entertainment needs, our playing needs, and they're not even really up to supporting our smart lifestyle anymore, because, you know, a lot of us have been not just ringing our families, but we've been video conferencing them. And of course, that's the kind of service as well, which is highly demanding and very cost sensitive. We've written a paper about the smart life space and looking at what that is and defining it, and showing that if we look at this opportunity holistically, there's actually quite a lucrative market out there that service providers can address, providing better and more nuanced bandwidth into the home, supporting the smart objects and other devices inside the home, because obviously no one's got any time anymore to do that kind of IT support, securing these devices and this space, and also providing other value-added services into that household. If you would like to find out more about the smart life space opportunity, then you can download a complimentary paper from our website, omnisperience.com. In the meanwhile, we've got some great commentary from the Home Grid Forum and Nokia coming up, so we hope you really enjoy the rest of this pod scene. So I'd like to welcome Livia from the Home Grid Forum, who's here to talk to us about the increasing bandwidth requirements of the smart life space. Welcome, Livia.
Thank you so much, Teresa. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
For the benefit of our listeners, could you please introduce yourself and your organization?
My pleasure. I am the marketing chair and a member of the board of directors of the wonderful industry alliance Home Grid Forum that is so keen on supporting the deployment of the technology that is ensuring global recognized ITUT standards-based technology designed for bandwidth-intensive real-time applications, which is what we all need nowadays, especially during COVID times.
Well, I think one of the things we have learned, Livia, during lockdown is that the home networks really just aren't good enough for all the activities that are now going on in these smart life spaces.
It's true. It's such an unprecedented challenge for all of us, such an unprecedented demand for connectivity everywhere, especially at home, because we have been forced, as you say, to work from home, to entertain our children staying at home, to access all types of critical information, including health services while staying at home, downloading, I don't know, cooking recipes, tutorials, whatever, watching 4K videos and beyond that. So we used to do all of these things and all these applications at the office. Offices were designed to support high bandwidth requirements, but homes were not initially designed like that. So consumer networks were not up to the technology speed until now, at least. We see new trends as the industry players are forced to upgrade the networks. This is causing major disruption worldwide. Economies went into that particular shutdown and schools became transitioning into children studying from home. So this really shows the importance of the technology. It really shows that it's vital to keep businesses and society intact to ensure this internet connectivity. I think we have all the ingredients in place. The infrastructure supporting it is consistent, and we need to carry on these high volumes of data by deploying devices which are fully interoperable for the vast range of devices that is expected to be deployed and connected in the same time. I have been constantly on online conference calls for the last months, like many of us, and there is a clear sign that most of the attendees do experience some connectivity outages at some point in time during the calls, precisely because of that.
But I think the problem, Livia, is that we may have all had this great lesson in quality of service during lockdown, and we now understand why it's so important. But if you don't live in a major city, if you live in a rural area, then you might not have a lot of choice of network. You probably don't get 5G, you might not even get 4G, and you probably haven't got full fibre. So if you live in that kind of an area, what can service providers do to improve the bandwidth to meet the needs of customers in these smart life spaces?
That's a brilliant question. The technology is available, and I trust the technology is available by all means through different service providers and different system vendors. They have been preparing themselves without knowing, you know, the COVID wave is going to come. They have been preparing themselves with lots of great devices that do have this connectivity. The question is indeed that FTTH, fiber to the home, is setting the connectivity bar very high. It is achievable in major cities, but at the same time is not always achievable when the fiber has to stop at the curve of the street, at the basement of the building, for, you know, technical reasons or whatever accessibility reasons. Sometimes it is purely due to the impossibility to gain access permissions to the area or building owner, which makes the service more difficult to achieve from the very start. So sometimes you see that also in the major cities. When that happens, what Home Grid Forum members are doing, and this is an alliance made of silicon vendors, system integrators, service providers, electric utilities, and so on. It's a major collaboration effort. They are deploying ITUT standard-based technology, GHN, that is able to offer the existing infrastructure capabilities. What does that mean in practice? That the network itself can work through the existing coax cables or existing power line cables or existing phone line cables or even plastic optical fiber that can carry on essential connectivity throughout the entire premises. In other words, the fiber stops whatever needs to stop at the curb or the street or the basement of the building for whatever reasons. And then from there, it's always something else. It's always a different wire in place that was previously installed, like coax line and power lines, which everyone has electricity. So from there, they can hook in the GHN connectivity and still offer data rates up to 2 gigabits per second and uphold all these challenges. So it's a matter of reusing the existing infrastructure without need of drilling additional holes or making additional construction changes in order to have that connectivity. So we can see that more and more also in some particular cases in the big cities, but definitely it's something that it's very much used outside of the big cities when you do not have that connectivity at your fingertips.
Well, that sounds great, Livia, and I'm all for anything that can speed this process up with a minimum of disruption. But even if we get the network bit right, when it hits the CPE, doesn't that just slow everything down?
Indeed, we have to make sure that all of us, that we are installing the proper devices and the technology can construct itself in a way that allows for full interoperability between all these devices. So in order to provide a universal backbone for the home network, so inside the house, and enable this growing number of connected devices, like, you know, all of us have so many different phones and tablets and PCs and so on, they can be deployed instantly to extend the consumer or the small business network for 100% seamless, reliable coverage if they are certified and previously tested for that. Precisely for that reason, only such certified devices have to be installed. Devices that have been tested at the technology silicon level and at the system level by third-party labs that are taking care of these challenges in order to make sure they are not just plug and play, but they are also consistent with the previously installed network, with the previously installed range of devices, and fully interoperable at all levels and also high performing. So you've seen service providers offering these wonderful apps on the, you know, that you can use on your mobile phone, that you can configure your network. You can see, you can have a topology discovery snapshot. You can see who's connected at a particular time. You can enable and disable connectivity in specific rooms of the house if you need to do so, like protecting children's, you know, put them off from internet so that they can start studying and stuff like that. So this is ensured by interoperability between all these different devices, and that can only be done through a certification. On our side, because this is valid for all technologies being deployed, on our side, with GHN certification is ensured by the Home Grid Forum certification program, which is testing all devices previously, not just for connectivity requirements, but also for quality of service and consistency for a compliant ecosystem, so that you can mix all these different devices from different manufacturers, from different providers.
So we've heard the options for, you know, fixing the network level problem, and we've talked about getting the CPE right and the importance of that. If we fix these things, are there new revenue streams and new business models here for service providers?
We should not see just the problem itself, but we should figure out what is the opportunity that the problem is and or the challenge is bringing to us. And it's always a good range of opportunities. On the technology connectivity side, the new range of opportunities for telecommunications industry players are stemming from the fact that consumers demand faster, all the time faster and higher capacity Wi-Fi throughout the entire home. So mesh networks are growing in popularity to deliver all this uniform coverage. On the other side, you see the Internet of Things, you know, coverage and quality user experience that is only going to grow because of that. So operators are shifting from Wi-Fi only to Wi-Fi mesh networking enabled by wired backbone, because they need to make sure they have a robust and reliable connectivity. So this combined between wireless and wired connectivity. So the implementation of the standard goes beyond home connectivity and goes beyond to broadband carrier access, also to smart grid segments, Because as we are staying at home and we are using lots of energy, which we're not using, especially when, staying 8 hours a day in an office, the system vendors that are ensuring this grid are also looking into developing smart meter gateways with such a technology as GHN for connecting energy services, central offices with the smart meters that are located in the users' homes. Why this is important going forward, or increasingly important, because the mandates for deploying smart energy monitoring systems globally are demanding also smart cities, all enabled by the needs of facilitating secure connectivity, real-time monitoring, so that by staying at home all these different hours, you can actually look at the energy usage, and you can configure that by yourself as a household, and decide the hours peak that you need to use your devices at home. So it's all about using the strong backbone, electricity backbone and energy backbone that all these buildings are offering, and making sure we have the connectivity by all means all the time. One of the other interesting applications is using the street lights. Now it is not something that it's somehow obvious because we are more confined and allowed to be on the street, but street lights also do provide an outdoor lighting network that can communicate with each other through thousands of sensors and IP devices in a remotely managed TCP/IP network. So all this connectivity being installed is going to benefit citizens, not just through lighting solutions, but through, security video surveillance, making sure you are always protected, electrical vehicle charging stations. So it's all opening up an amazing new range of devices and connectivity solutions.
And if listeners want to find out more, Livia, where can they do so?
They can look at the www.homegridforum.org.
Livia, it's been so interesting talking to you about all of this today. But in summary, what would your top tips be for improving the speed of the network and the CPE in the smart life space?
I would love to highlight and encourage everyone, whether working from home or whether going back to the office, that they can benefit all these connectivity solutions by installing GHN-based reliable backhaul, interoperability, and high performance. They can get a pair of these devices actually for their smart life space by asking that connectivity solution to their service providers or by acquiring them on Amazon, Alibaba. The most important thing here is to upgrade the network and looking for the certification logo on the package so that connectivity is ensured by all means. And looking forward to an energy efficient platform for our smart life and smart city of the future.
So I'd like to welcome Gino Dion from Nokia to the OmniZine. Gino, could you please introduce yourself and explain your role at Nokia?
Of course, Theresa. Thank you very much. So my name is Gino Dion. I'm the head of the Innovation Solutions in Fixed Networks at Nokia. I lead a special rapid prototyping R&D team that loves to focus on interesting problems or challenges that service providers may be facing today.
Do you know, we've been hearing a lot about the networking issues of home workers, but our home broadband is also being challenged by things like entertainment services that are rapidly evolving and can be quite demanding. We've all had this big lesson in what quality of service is really all about, and we've realised that, best efforts home broadband really doesn't cut it anymore, does it?
No, in fact, best effort internet service was good enough 10 years ago, but not anymore. You mentioned entertainment services, and in fact, gaming, online gaming represents $100+ billion a year market segment. It's even bigger than the movies and media nowadays. So people expect much more from their service providers than just a dumb internet pipe. They do want QoS that goes beyond just the maximum throughput of their bandwidth connection. And the funny thing is, based on several studies that were done within Nokia and even by parties, there is a direct correlation between the online gaming performance, things like kill death ratios and things like that, and the latency that those gamers experience. So what that means is the better the latency, the better your online gaming performance will be. But latency can be very tricky to manage. It may not always be in the complete service provider's control.
Yeah, I get that, you know, quality of service is really important to these gamers, and they spend a lot of money on their equipment. So obviously, if they can spend a little bit of money or a little bit extra money on their network, then that's quite interesting to them. But in order to actually understand what they need to support them, we have to delve down a little bit into the components of quality of service and get a bit more granular, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Traditionally, you know, consumers and service providers have focused purely on the broadband speeds, you know, a 50 megabit connection, 100 megabit, or even a gigabit. But the reality of it is that speed in and of itself does not provide a better gaming experience in most cases. Other factors such as latency, network variability, those do have a real impact. When we talk about latency, what is most important is low latency, consistent low latency. Now, you'll hear gamers often refer to this as lag or lagging or buffer bloat and things like that. The consumer retail market already jumped on this bandwagon a few years ago. There's no big brand names offering gamer optimized and low latency residential gateways and Wi-Fi access points. And to your point, often at eye-watering prices for the parents. But different types of games have different latency profiles. So when you talk about battle royale games like Fortnite, Call of Duty, Apex Legends, those typically don't require a lot of bandwidth. These games are capable of compensating for latency variance among all players. Unfortunately, the new kid on the block, cloud gaming, and this is like Google Stadia, NVIDIA GeForce Now, or the newly announced Amazon Luna, those have much stricter latency profiles. And that makes it even more difficult because they require 100 times more bandwidth than the non-cloud version of those games.
Wow. And of course, this is quite complicated because there are lots of different elements here that affect the network experience and lots of different places where we need to tackle this, I guess.
Yeah, you're right. Latency is cumulative in nature. It's being added and compounded at various points in the network. By far, the most critical point is in the home, like things like Wi-Fi performance, which can be very unpredictable, or maybe in the access network itself, or even in the IP and optical transport. So Nokia has developed very unique capabilities and technology to address those issues at every point. In the home, we have things like low latency, low loss scalable throughput, or L4S for short, which is a great way to enhance the legacy TCP/IP protocols. And it allows applications, like games, to mark packets in a way that allows them to be more efficiently processed by your gateways and Wi-Fi access point and routers. When you couple this with a highly advanced queuing mechanism, which we called Pi-Square or PI2, you can not only dramatically improve the latency, but make it more consistent, which is really the key. And we can't forget about the rest of the network. So Nokia solutions, such as the Network Services Platform or NSP, can create and monitor latency SLAs to all of the major gaming servers around the world and make IP routing decision not just based on bandwidth availability, but also on the best latency achievable across all of the various peering points that the service provider may have available to them. Also, we have SDAN, Software-Defined Access Networking. This is really the glue that allows to bring all of these things together and facilitate the creation of business services via network slicing. The creation of these gamer slices in the network so they can be operated, managed, and monetized as a separate logical service, even though they may be running on the same physical network. It's the combination of all these technologies together is what makes it really powerful.
Okay, so I get that this is a really big issue for the gamers. And, you know, I suspect that, as I said, given the amount of money they spend on their equipment, that they may be willing to pay a little bit out for better quality of service. But do we actually have any evidence that there's some money in this? You know, do we know that gamers will buy a service based on quality of service?
That's a question that I get quite often from major tier ones around the world. And the good news is there has been several recent market studies that have shown that a significant portion of broadband consumers are willing to pay a premium for an optimized gaming service. And no doubt that it's been accelerated significantly by our COVID-19 situation. Not only are they willing to pay for this, But there's other side benefits to service provider, which, you know, helps reduce churn. So in the end of the day, the ability to create a service and cater to it can have a significant impact on their ARPU as well as the bottom line. So when we talk about SDAN, which offers the methodology to create these network slices, you know, that allows them to deliver a traffic profile that has below 1 millisecond on fiber to the home networks. That's really incredible. This slice also makes it a lot easier to manage, sell, and monetize these kind of options. And SDAN is also an effective driver for lucrative mobile edge computing services. That's another big thing. 5G offers very low latency, but you need to be able to deliver edge computing services. And SDAN is a way, again, to tie all of these things, different things together.
So, Gino, I guess the fly in the ointment of differentiated quality of service has been net neutrality in the past. Where are we on that?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question. I get that very frequently. The good news is that this does not really impact net neutrality in the way that people have been talking about it in the last several years. What we're doing here is really prioritizing traffic based on the traffic type within an end user's traffic profile. So we're not giving Facebook a priority lane. We're not giving Apex Legend a priority lane. What we're doing is, of all the traffic that is generating from your household, we're making sure to prioritize traffic based on the profiles, meaning gaming traffic has very small packets. So, you know, we'll make sure to give it a consistent latency. So we're not differentiating based on a particular application, but on different traffic profiles. This makes it a very immune to traditional net neutrality concerns or issues.
Thank you so much for explaining all of this to us, Gino. You know, if listeners want to find out more about how they could create maybe a monetizable gaming service using some of the technologies that you've described, how can they do that?
Yeah, so I would encourage the listeners to look up and follow Nokia on our blog series on our website, which is very easy to find, as well as we have a very rich Twitter and LinkedIn feed. So we are constantly publishing great examples of how service providers can better address this market segment, which, you know, if we're honest, it's no longer a niche. It's graduated to mainstream. It is a main decision factor in how consumers will select their broadband provider now.
Finally, could you give us your top tips for service providers who'd like to create this kind of service?
Yeah, I like that question. So my three top tips would be that, number one, your gaming service can't be a one-trick pony. You need to look at the latency across your entire service delivery platform with solutions like SDAN, like NSP, like PiSquare. Number two, gamers are smart, very smart, and they will quickly analyze and measure the latency performance of your service. You need solutions and products that deliver real-world gaming results, not something that's based on a pass-fail in a lab somewhere. That's not going to cut it. And then finally, it also goes beyond technology. You need a good marketing story, a good partner network to be successful. History has shown that service providers can't do this alone. If they do, they fail. You need a good ecosystem around your gaming offering.
Well, that's it for this issue of the Pod Scene. But coming up soon in the next issue, we have commentary from industry analyst Colin Mann about the importance of the CPE and his research into that. Alot's Angel Fernandez, who's going to talk to us about how we secure the smart life space, as well as the opportunities for service providers to create new revenue streams from doing that. And Scotland 5G's Paul Kofi, who's going to talk to us about 5G's role in supporting this market, how it can meet customer needs and create new revenue streams for service providers. So that's all coming up in the next issue of the OmniScene. And just a quick reminder, if this has got you thinking and you'd like to sponsor a paper on a topic related to the smart life space, then to find out more, please drop a line to Sami Gari's sg@omnisperience.com to discover how you could work with us.